Darren, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I do hope that you have had an amazing week, whatever you've been up to. Amazing week with lots of fun things to do. Amazing week with your control of your diabetes. And really just that you are enjoying life to the full. So what have we got in store for you this week on the Diabetes Show? Well, this week we're going to be talking a little bit about fitness and exercise. I can feel some of you just draining at the thought of it. Oh no, not banging on about more exercise, trying to get me to lose weight all over again. Oh, I've done there, been there, done that, had enough of it. No, we are going to be talking about exercise, yes, but we are going to be talking about exercise, fitness, and the link with mental health as well. And I think it's really, really important that we do grasp that, okay? Because at this time with the virus around and everything, there's many people who are really in a difficult situation where they are feeling really low about things, and diabetes having that doesn't help. And exercise can actually make a big difference, as I think you'll find out during our interview. We're going to be interviewing Brendan Stubbs. He is a physiotherapist who specializes in physiotherapy and mental health. And I think you'll find this a fascinating interview. That will be later on in the show. But before we get to that, of course, we have our normal, regular news spot where I pick on some different websites, look at what there has been in the news in the past week, and just share the basics with you. And then you can choose to go and look at them later if you would like. And generally, the main two sites I look at are diabetes.co.uk and Diabetes Times. Last week, I think we started with Diabetes Times. So this week, we'll start with diabetes.co.uk. And one of the first things that I saw that has been in the news since the last show was made is people with diabetes at higher risk of bone fractures, as if we haven't got enough to be concerned about already with different complications. They're now saying that you're more likely to get bone fractures if you've got diabetes. Now, I'm not fully clear whether it is the diabetes that actually makes you more prone to the fractures because your bones aren't as strong, or whether it is more that maybe you're more likely to have some neuropathy, for example. You're more likely to be overweight, and therefore if you are going to have a fall, it's going to be a bit more hefty, and obviously if you've got the neuropathy, you're going to be more likely to fall. So I'm not quite sure what the research has shown. You'll have to look that up yourself if you want to find out more, but I do know that it is supposed to be type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Neither escape this complication, which has been identified, of increased risk of bone fracture. Next one, a glimmer of hope for some maybe. A fat-burning molecule could help obese people lose weight in future. Apparently, this has been named BAM15. It's a small mitochondrial uncoupler, and it's been identified by an American team of researchers. And in a series of experiments, they found that it not only reduces body fat mass in mice without impacting the amount of food they ate, but it also decreased insulin resistance. So it sounds like it's in fairly early stages of investigation and study. But let's watch this space. And if you want to hear more, read more, go and look at diabetes.co.uk. There's also a couple of items on there which are to do with COVID-19 and how it's found to trigger diabetes in healthy people, and also how diabetes can increase the COVID-19 severity. Now, those are things I know which we've put on here time and time again, and some of you will be absolutely sick and tired of it, you know. But if you are interested in it, then please do go ahead, go to diabetes.co.uk, have a look at their website, and you can read more about that in detail. Suffice to say that it can trigger diabetes, and also that if you have diabetes and you have the COVID-19, then its severity of symptoms are likely to be much worse in you if you have diabetes, and possibly even fatal. Next one, a man with insulin-dependent diabetes to receive top charity award for his fundraising. The chap's name is Julian Pablo from Somerset in the UK, and he's going to be presented with the Diabetes UK Inspire Award. He finished a 500-mile walk along a mountain range, which took him 42 days. And raised, he's 57 years old, and he raised £2,000, which was split between Diabetes UK and the organisation called Veterans in Action. So it's good to hear some positive news for a change, and well done to Julian for that. Maybe some of you can be thinking of things that you can do to raise money for diabetes charities such as Diabetes UK, such as JDRF, brilliant, brilliant charity trying to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. Let's have a look at the next one. The next one, also on diabetes.co.uk, is a leaked report suggests racism and discrimination led to more COVID-19 deaths. This follows a report from Public Health England, which actually hasn't been published in full yet, but Sky News managed to obtain a copy of the document and has published some of its content. Apparently, COVID-19 exposed and exacerbated racism and discrimination suffered by Black, Asian and minority ethnic, BAME, people in Britain, an official inquiry has stated. Apparently, the report was based on testimonies provided by about 4,000 stakeholders, including BAME groups and academics. And one of the things that it pointed out was that BAME communities have a lack of trust of the NHS services, which results in a reluctance to seek care. Obviously, that needs to be put right. If people are living in this country, they need to be able to feel that they can trust the NHS to provide the care that they deserve as a human being. And we've got another item here from diabetestimes.co.uk, and this one is regarding the transition of services for people with diabetes when their children transitioning to become adults, and apparently there's inequalities and regional variations evident. Certainly we found that with my daughter as she transitioned from pediatric diabetes care into adult, seemed to be sort of forgotten about a little bit and not necessarily not getting the care that one needs at that critical time, often when people are going away to university, for example, or maybe setting up on at home by themselves, and yet falling through the cracks and not really being kept an eye on as well as they perhaps could be. So that sounds like it's something which is, it's not a welcome find, but it's good to find it so we can deal with it. And let's hope there is more equality around the country and around the world indeed. And please, if you have got a teenager who is going to be going to uni, who is going to be maybe leaving and going to live somewhere else, then please do your part as a parent, as a grandparent, as a loved one. Do your part to try to help that person to not neglect themselves, to really keep up with their appointments, to keep up with their testing, to keep up with their dosages of insulin or tablets, whatever it might be, because it really is important, and they really can affect their long-term health by, you know, 3 or 4 years of bad management whilst they're away at uni. Not to mention, of course, the risk of severe complications, acute complications such as hypos. So just remember, it's not all about the NHS giving you the right treatment. It is important, but you can do your bit as well. Another one on diabetestimes.co.uk, and that is aimed more at healthcare professionals. This item is that there is a insulin safety week, which it was scheduled for May, but obviously was cancelled, or postponed, should I say, and it was postponed to September. Well, good news is that it's now been brought forward to the month of July. And what happens in that is it's for healthcare professionals to get awareness, understanding of insulin safety, because it's, you know, not everyone is a specialist in that area. It's important for them to be able to understand how best to treat you. Well, that's about all I can find in the news for this week. No doubt there'll be some of you who can find something which I've missed, but enjoy what you have heard there. If you want to listen to any more about them, or if you rather you want to read any more about them, then go to diabetes.co.uk or diabetestimes.co.uk websites, and you will be able to see all of those articles there.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
We're going to play a song now before we get into our main interview of the week. And that song was chosen by my interviewee. Now, we have had it on here quite recently, but it is such a lively tune, and lots of people do enjoy it. It's not the version we played last time. It's a different one. This is the version from the film King Julian. King Julian, of course, appears in the film Madagascar, but then has his own films or series. And it is I'd Like to Move It, Move It. I hope you enjoy it.
Move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to
move it, move it, move it.
All girls all over the world. Original King Julian for the case, man. I love how all the girls move their body. And when you move your body, you don't move it nice and sweet and sassy. Alright? Woman, you're cute, and you don't need no makeup. Original cute body, make a man mad. Woman, you're cute, and you don't need no makeup. Original cute body, make a man mad. Woman, physically fit, physically fit, physically, physically, physically fit. Woman, physically fit, physically fit, physically, physically, physically fit. Woman, nice, sweet, fantastic. Reach for the ocean at the big tight end. Woman, nice, sweet, energetic. Reach for the ocean at the big tight end. Woman, nice, sweet, fantastic. Reach for the ocean at the big tight end. Woman, nice, sweet, fantastic. Reach for the ocean at the big tight end. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to
move it.
And you don't need no makeup. Original cute body, make a man mad.
Woman, you cute.
And you don't need no makeup. Original cute body, make a man mad. Eyeliner, funny face, make man mad up. Nose powder, funny face, make man mad up. Like your eyebrow, funny face, make man mad up. Girl, your lipstick, funny face, make man mad up. Woman, your nice broad face and your nice hips make man flip and bust them lip. Woman, you're nice and energetic. Reach about the ocean and a bit tight today. Woman, your nice broad face and your nice hips make man flip and bust them lip. Woman, you're nice and energetic. Reach about the ocean and a bit tight today. Whoa. I like to move it, move it. He like to move it, move it. She like to move it, move it. You like to
move it.
They like to move it, move it. You like to move it, move it. I like. Oh, did I? Have I done I? Did I do? I like to. I think I did. I like. Wait. What about wait? Hey. They did they as well. Okay. Oh, I got it. I got a new one. I got a new one. Them? No, is that, can I say them or not? Them like to move it, move it. I'm gonna say them. Them like to move it, move it. We like to move it, move it. Well, there's gotta be another one. We see us.
Oh.
Us? Can you do us like to? Us like to move it, move it. That's the one. Like to move it, move it. Us like to move it, move it. Us like to
move it, move it,
move it, move it, move it, move it, move it. Okay then. While you're here, I just want to tell you a little story. It's not a story that my daddy used to tell me. He was a king as well. I was born probably about 68 years ago, over by that tree over there, yeah. And I remember things changed a lot in those days in Madagascar. It wasn't so commercial, you know? It wasn't all about money and who's got the latest tree and what leaves are you wearing and who's got the latest fur on their back, you know? Those days it was just me and a couple of the others, you know, doing the jungle boogie, you know? Jungle boogie! Jungle boogie! Ha, 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 ha.
Boogie, boogie, boogie.
Do you really think this is never gonna end? Because it is. 3, 2, 1. Not bad, eh? I like it.
That was the irresistible I Like to Move It, Move It song. We played the King Julian version, and I bet that you moved some part of your body whilst listening to that. Anyway, that song was actually chosen for us by our guest today. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And today, my guest is physiotherapist Brendan Stubbs. Welcome to the show, Brendan. Okay, so Brendan, thank you so much for joining me here on UK Health Radio today. It's great to have you here.
Absolutely delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Before we got you on, we had a song on the show. Just tell me why you chose that particular song, please.
Well, I Like to Move It, Move It just really personifies everything which we're going to talk about, all just about the joys of movement. It's got a very fast, uplifting beat. And I personally just find it a really great motivational video to sort of get out and get moving to.
It's got to be one of the most used songs, I think, in cartoon films, with Madagascar and King Julian, and I think it's in Happy Feet as well, I believe, because we use that song in some school assemblies that we do and get all the kids dancing to it. So it's a favourite.
Absolutely, well, whatever age you are.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, there may be some listeners who are going to disagree, but anyway, we'll leave that to them. You're a physio, but not just any old physio. You're a physio in mental health, I believe. I don't quite know exactly what that means, but please tell us a little bit more what it does mean and how you got to specialise in that particular area, please.
Sure. Well, really good question. But essentially, being a physiotherapist in a mental health setting or working in mental health is the same as a physiotherapist in any other setting. The primary difference is that I work with people who have a mental health condition or mental health symptoms, often people who are quite unwell with a mental health condition, so they may be in hospital due to that, but they may also have physical health requirements that need sort of help with, such as low back pain, diabetes, or just general difficulty moving. So I work in the same way a physio would in a general hospital or a sports clinic, but the type of people I work with is very different. And they're primarily in a hospital for their mental health care condition to be treated for. Now, we know that people with lots of mental health diagnoses are at increased risk of a wide range of different physical health care conditions as well, such as diabetes, weight gain, thinner bones. So there's a real key role for having a sound body and a sound mind. So being a physical health expert in a mental health setting has a lot of benefits generally, but also in helping people moving. And I started working in mental health services, and I've done various different roles, and a large part of my role is spent doing research in 2003. It was a bit of an accident, really. My mum was the head of a pharmacy at a psychiatric hospital and invited me to come and talk to the head of physio after I'd finished my training, and went along, and before I knew it, I was having a job interview and went to go and work in this mental health hospital, and really, really enjoyed looking at the whole person, helping the person as a whole, rather than separating someone into just their body or just their mind. And I've kind of been in services since then.
Okay, brilliant story. And I think mum's got a lot to answer for sometimes. My mum was very instrumental in me getting up, you know, as a podiatrist. So, yeah. Okay, we should probably point out, because some listeners are going to stumble across this show either in video or audio after, hopefully after the coronavirus pandemic is all done and dusted and forgotten about. But we're recording this during it. And ASICS have been doing a survey of runners during it, which I think you're pretty familiar with and want to talk a little bit about today. And just tell us a little bit about what they found and maybe who ASICS are as well, for those that don't know.
Sure. So ASICS is a leading global sports brand, and they're found in Japan, and they're found on the notion of a sound mind and a sound body. So this sort of mind-body connection, it really runs through the fabric of ASICS and who they are and their essence as a company. And so they're a leading sort of sports and running brand particularly, and they're really sort of pro sort of research and developing an evidence base for everything that they do. And just getting onto the study about which ASICS has been, which is ASICS has led. So we've been really in an unprecedented time, which I agree with you, hopefully will be out by the time people listen to this, where we've had restrictions and uncertainty in terms of what we can and what we can't do. Some of that's shifted, some of that's changed. And unsurprisingly, we've seen people presenting with sort of, you know, increased mental health symptoms and stress with the uncertainty. But also in many countries where there has been restrictions, often the ability to go out for a period of exercise has been one of the things which people can do. So a number of different researchers to date have tried to understand, has the restrictions that have come about from the pandemic we're in altered people's mental health, and is that related to how active we are? And the studies which have been published today have been limited largely to one country, less than 1,000 participants. Now, in research terms, we don't particularly like studies that are limited just to one country or have few participants in. So what ASICS have done is a really large study. They've got 14,000 people from 12 countries. So it's very representative, you know, across all different continents. And they looked at people who regularly engaged in exercise or running, so at least once a week, and tried to understand if their running habits had changed and how that changed with their mental health. And they asked people over the time, and they linked it with their RunKeeper app, which many of your readers may or may not be familiar with, which is an app which you can download to keep track of your walks, runs or cycles. And they've linked all of this together to say, are people being more active during this pandemic? Is this related to people's mental health? And does what people report they're doing stack up against what the objective data shows from people's phones? And what the ASICS have found with this really large study is that there's been a real increase in the regularity in which people are going out for running. So 43% of runners were going out running more regularly, and the 82% said that it helped really clear their mind, and 76% said that it helped them feel more sense of control. And there was a really huge spike in terms of registrations for the RunKeeper app, so this objective device, well over 100% of people doing more runs. So there's this real sense from this large number of people that many more people are doing more running, and they're reporting that it's making them feel, in a time of great uncertainty, more in control, more able to feel better within themselves, and have a sound mind and also sound body, which really goes in the fabric of everything that they stand for as a brand.
Brilliant. I think it's really interesting that, you know, 79% are saying that they feel saner or more in control, because this experience that we've gone through recently has certainly left a lot of people feeling out of control and clearing the mind. I mean, 80% or so are saying that they felt like they've got a clearer mind. I know at the beginning, my mind was all over the place with, you know, I run my own businesses, had to shut that, yeah. It was just, and I personally did find that running definitely, I mean, it really, if I can get really sort of fuggy feeling and lethargic and I go out for a run, I've got a totally different mindset at the end of it. I'm totally, totally wired up to get on with doing whatever I need to get on with. But this survey was people like myself who already were into running, if you like, I believe. So I suspect that for some others who are thinking, oh, maybe I should run, or shall I give it a try? They've got to get a bit more used to it, maybe. I don't know. Because when you start running, sometimes if you haven't been for a long time, you can actually end up, you've got to do it gradually.
Yeah, I think that's right. The study is looking at people who usually run once a week. So the results are very encouraging for that particular group. And for people who've perhaps never run, or for people who've not run for some period of time, the good thing is that you can build up to running in a relatively short period of time in a safe way. You can just start by going out for some, brisk walks, and then building up to, and running for a minute or so, and then slowly build up your running time going in. The key thing really is to get your heart and lungs sort of moving, and the air within your lungs to feel the sort of mental and physical health benefits as well. So if you aren't running at the moment, do not be put off, because this is something that throughout the age span and throughout people with any pre-existing physical or mental health care conditions, you can build up towards running within a good space of time.
So I mean, benefits we know of running, that like you just said, the pumping the blood through and get more oxygen to the muscles and to the body. Why is it that we do feel less stressed after a run, or most people seem to? Is there a scientific answer to that?
So there is, yeah. Running is a really great evidence-based way to experience many mental health benefits. And there's a number of different mechanisms which we've looked at in research studies to try and understand why does running make us feel so good. So we can broadly conceptualize these within sort of neuroscience and biological mechanisms, and then more broadly sort of biopsycho and social mechanisms. So if we just look at some of the mechanisms which we've studied and others have studied. So one of the areas that is implicated in making us feel good when we run is this area of the brain called the hippocampus. And this is an area which is sort of deep within the mid part of the brain, and is really important for helping us process our emotions, helping consolidate our memories from short to long term, and just helps process all of our emotions. And if you look at conditions such as dementia or mild cognitive impairment or people with depression, this is an area of the brain which is greatly reduced in size. So we're very concerned about the health and the size of this area of the brain called the hippocampus. Now, what we've shown is when you do aerobic exercise, and by that I mean exercise that gets your heart and lung racing, including running, you can get volume changes, so actual increases in the size of this key emotional processing area of the brain over like a 12 to 16 week period. So we've demonstrated that you can get real meaningful changes as a result. But you don't just need to wait for 12 to 16 weeks. There was a really nice study done in Japan where they got people doing light physical activity and got people in functional magnetic resonance imaging scanners where they can actively look at which parts of your brains are lighting up. And they compared it to people who were not moving. And they found that just after 10 minutes of light activity, you got this really pronounced electrical activity happening within the emotional processing area of the brain.
Wow.
So just with a 10-minute session, you can get key changes in electrical activity in his brain. You can also get volume changes. And this is really, really exciting from neuroscience and from a lots of different perspectives. So that is one area as well. We've also just done another study recently looking at children who were running with colleagues in China, and we looked at people who ran 3 or 4 times a week for at least 30 minutes, and we scanned the brains of these children and looked at their mental health, and we found that running resulted in increases in activity in another area of the brain, again important for concentration, emotional processing and problem solving, something called the anterior cingulate cortex. So this is really exciting that we're starting to unpick the neuroscience about why running can help with emotional processing, problem solving. You mentioned earlier about it helps you make you think clearer, and these are just some of the snippets of the neuroscience which we've taken in relatively recent work. And again, just linking all of this area together is we've done other research in randomized controlled trials showing that when you get people doing aerobic exercise, you can get a release of this this substance called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF. And essentially, this is a brain fertilizer which gets released all over the brain and helps stimulate brain cell growth in lots of key areas as well. And this can be released when we engage in running. That is another mechanism. But also when we do running or other types of aerobic exercise, we start to light up some of the reward centers in our brain. One area we're particularly interested in is the endocannabinoid system, which is probably related to what was known as the runner's high as well. And then just one last sort of neuroscience and biological mechanism. We've also been able to demonstrate that when you do aerobic exercise, including running, you can get reductions in inflammatory markers, reactive protein. And when you are stressed or you're fighting a physical disease, your body releases inflammatory markers within the blood, which show a raised inflammation. And when you look at people with a mental health care condition, such as depression, there is an increase in these inflammatory markers. Now, running and exercise is a really potent anti-inflammatory mechanism. So you can get reductions in these inflammatory markers, which are raised in mental health care conditions. Now, it's also important to acknowledge there's a number of psychosocial mechanisms as well to running. So whenever you run, you feel a sense of accomplishment, I feel a sense of, you know, obtaining a goal, a sense of achievement. And those are some of the immediate benefits which you can acquire from engaging in a run. And also, a large part of the benefit could be related to sense of connection, both in terms of connection with the outdoors, in nature, and also a connection with others when we go out and running in a group.
Wow, gosh, sounds like we all should be running. It sounds like it's got some amazing benefits there. Yeah, you just touched there on a sense of accomplishment and what have you. And there is the downside of that, of course, that if you set out to accomplish something and then you don't achieve it, you could therefore be a little bit negative and a bit of a downer, which I assume isn't quite so good. So what's your guidance regarding people setting goals and setting targets? What would you say to them?
Well, I think the key thing for any long-term behavioral change is to find enjoyment and pleasure in what you do.
Yeah.
So that is one of the key things, because if you go and for a run and you go and try and go really hard and really fast and you go for set times and find it really difficult, some people are really drawn to that, but most are not. So the key thing is to go out and to go and enjoy a run and enjoy it at a pleasurable pace for you and setting yourself realistic goals, because behavioral research shows us time and time again that we're much more likely to engage and maintain a behavior if we find it enjoyable, pleasurable, and a sense of satisfaction when we're doing it. So that would be one of the key recommendations, is run at a pace and intensity which is enjoyable. That will be difficult to start for some people, particularly if you're not used to running, but you will be able to get to that stage where it becomes, your heart and lungs improve and it becomes easier to do. So that would be a key recommendation. But goal setting and being realistic, is also really important, because there's nothing, quite like sort of deterring us from engaging in a helpful activity rather than when we set unrealistic or too difficult goals and we fail to achieve them. So being realistic and finding pace and intensity which you enjoy and not feeling the urge to sort of run and keep up with people is really key.
Cool. I'm just thinking about what you were saying a minute ago, and all these benefits, the hormonal or hormonal the benefits to the brain, has there been any of the studies shown whether you can get away with a 10 minute run and get, because you mentioned that even 10 minutes is enough to stimulate it, they've shown, does it mean that if you do half an hour you get a lot more stimulus, or you do an hour you get a lot more stimulus, or and if you get used to doing half an hour a day or an hour a day, does it sort of plateau out, and how does that work? Or is it looked into yet?
It's a great question. But I'll try and give a simple answer to a complex question.
Okay.
so for most people who are not doing much running and activity, just getting started and just going out for a few minutes in the first instance and building up, will experience a range of mental health and physical health benefits, because a lot of people are not even engaging in much physical activity and running. So for those who are not engaging, just getting started and doing a few minutes, even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you will experience real meaningful benefits, both in the short and also in the long term. Now, for people who are engaging in running regularly, the government and sort of World Health Organization recommend over the course of the week around 150 minutes of moderate intensity running activity where we may be running and finding it a bit difficult to breathe but still able to maintain a conversation with someone. So that could be allocated in any breakdown of slots. So that could be three times or 30 minutes, five times a week. Now, what we've shown in mental health research is that you continue to accrue mental health benefits up until you get up to around 300 minutes over the course of a week,
okay.
Which is quite a lot. And that's where the physical health guidelines are going as well. So keep going up to around 300 minutes. Then we start to see the mental health benefits plateau all off. And really, that's what where we sort of reach the upper limit of the people's mental health benefits. But for that, that is, you know, way beyond what most people will do. So for those people who are not doing much, just getting started is a really important difference.
Okay, cool. I know we're getting very short on time, so I'm going to whiz through some of my questions here. Yeah, just quickly touching on the whole exercise side, the types of exercise, high intensity exercise and long distance, which is the best, or better to do both of them?
I think for any good training regime, depending on who you are, if you are someone who runs regularly, having a combination of both can be very useful to maintain performance. So if you want a rounded program, then having some high intensity interval training with some sprints is very good to have a complete running overview. But also in terms of volume, running for longer distances can also accrue good mental health benefits. If you're somebody who's not as experienced in terms of running or engaging in exercise, I would say start off with whichever you find most comfortable and enjoyable, and then stick with that, and then perhaps try the other type of exercise. But we know that both types of exercise are more enjoyable. But what we do know in terms of data and research is there's much more evidence to say that continuous exercise is more sustainable in the long term. We don't have lots of follow-up data saying people really adhere and enjoy doing high-intensity interval training for years at a time, because it's only a relatively recent phenomena that people have become interested in.
Okay, cool. Right, one question I really want an answer for, this is for personal reasons more than anything else. Kids. Any tips on motivating kids to get doing some running? My daughter went out with me the other day, first time ever. She's 13, and she vows she won't go again. But I didn't push her too hard. Any tips you've got though?
I think the key thing is to getting people in terms of finding out what's meaningful for them in terms of exercise or running, coming up with a mutually agreed goal, perhaps, and then looking at some sort of reward that could possibly be given to get someone interested in terms of running to start off with.
Maybe that's where I went wrong. no reward. Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brendan, I know you've got to get somewhere. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much. Please just quickly share with people where they can find out more about ASICS, about yourself, if you want them to find out about you. And then if you can introduce us to your second song choice.
Sure. So probably the best place to go and find out about ASICS is go to asics.com or asics.co.uk if you're in the UK, and you can see much more about the run to feel and this research and everything else going on. And if you want to find more about me, you can ping my name in, Dr. Brendan Stubbs, in Google, BRENDONSTUBBS. And then just to introduce my next song, this is Free From Desire, another good upbeat tune to get around and dance or have a good run to. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay, Brendan.
My lover's got no money, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no power, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no fame, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no money, he's got his strong beliefs. Want more and more, people just want more and more. Freedom and love, what he's looking for. Want more and more, people just want more and more. Freedom and love, what he's looking for. From desire, mind and senses purified, freed from desire, mind and senses purified, freed from desire, mind and senses purified, freed from desire.
At the band Gala and the song Freed From Desire. You're listening to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. We're coming to the end now. And that song, Freed From Desire, got me thinking. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be freed from the desire to eat sweet things and chocolate cakes and things like that. It would be nice to be freed from that desire. But if you can't be freed from the desire, at least you can hopefully control yourself and only very, very occasionally have a little treat. Okay, very occasionally. I hope that you have found something useful from Brendan's talk today. I'm sure you have. Suffice to say that exercise is good for you. We all probably knew that anyway, although a lot of us often fight it. Hopefully we can start making some changes to get out there during this nice warm weather we've got. Particularly this week, we've got this heat wave coming on. It's going to be 30 degrees, I believe, this week here in the UK, which is, it's not unheard of, but it's... Yeah, June is living up to its name of Flaming June. I'm not looking forward to wearing my mask and PPE during that. It's going to be pretty horrendous, I think. Anyway, it is good to be back at work, and hopefully many of you are getting back to some sort of normality now. Thank you for joining us, even if you are busy. Thank you for joining us if you're sitting at home doing nothing. Please don't forget to get in touch with us if you've got any suggestions of topics you want to hear. If you've got something you want to say, if you want to be on the show sharing your journey with diabetes, then please get in touch with us. If you've just got a song you want to sing or a song you want to hear on the radio, then again, anything goes within reason, and we'll try to oblige. If you've got any questions for me at all, then please get in touch. You can do that via thediabetesshow@undefeated.org. thediabetesshow@undefeated.org. Undefeated is spelt with all E's. And if you haven't been to our website yet, then please do go to it. It's www.undefeated.org. Undefeated, again, spelt with all E's. And you know, we are all about trying to help you to maintain your lower limbs, your feet, so that you have them for the rest of your life, so that you enjoy doing the things with your loved ones that perhaps you wouldn't be able to do if you lost the use of your feet. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't had a chance to look at the Health Triangle magazine in the past, do go ahead and have a look. It's UK Health Radio's own magazine. It's a digital magazine. I do a couple of articles there. I do one called The Diabetes Sweet Spot, and you hopefully will know what that is. And I also do one called Footnotes as well. This month, the June edition, we are talking in there about pongy feet, stinky feet. And by the way, I also actually am doing a show on that as well, currently on the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio too. So if you want to hear that, go to the, over to there. And the other article is to do with diabetes and features my analogy of the feet being a little bit like a fort or castle, or even castle if you want to pronounce it that way. Do go along and have a look, not just because of my offerings, but there are many, many other people, most of the presenters on UK Health Radio and some others as well, who write articles in that magazine. So it would be great if you can go along. We don't get paid anything for doing that, by the way. So just go along, learn what you can about your health, and enjoy that magazine. It's only, I think, £4 if you buy just one off edition. Check it out, or you could go and buy a subscription, which would give you savings. That is it for this week. I hope you have a fantastic time ahead. Please keep safe, keep well, and most of all, enjoy yourself. And we'll see you next week. Take good care. God bless. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.